What's going on, DTC friends and family? I'm here to talk to you about Dynasty Leagues, but not in the way that I usually do. No, we're not talking about the Dynasty Diagnostic. We are talking about Dynasty Owner. The best fantasy football leagues are those where every owner consistently pays attention, responds to trade offers, changes their lineup, and is always looking to improve their team. We've all been in leagues where non-active owners absolutely kill the vibe, and you don't get any enjoyment from actually participating in that league, win or lose. These aren't one of those. This is no off-season for the owners on Dynasty Owner. That's who you're challenging yourself when it comes to Dynasty Owner. Other elite fantasy football players are committed to competing and are vetted before they're even placed in Dynasty Owner leagues. It's the only football platform with a patent game using actual NFL salaries and contracts. Combine this with a salary cap, trading options, advanced team rosters, and devoted and elite owners willing to compete against you, and you're faced with the same decisions that NFL owners and general managers must make on a day-to-day basis. If you are ready to take the leap, to take the next step, and to take on the absolute creme de la creme of Dynasty gamers, then don't miss out. We have an amazing mobile app that will be out on iOS and Android in May, just in time to start filling up your draft with all the rookies being added to the player pool. Just waitlist at www.dynastyowner.com so you don't miss out when new leagues open.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is a special edition. We're going to be on YouTube right now. We're filming with Dynasty Rich from the Nerd Calculators. From the Dynasty Nerds. Sorry about that, Rich. What's up?
Oh, thanks for having me guys join your guys' team too. I'm ambidextrous in the Dynasty community.
This there you fantastic. Go. And what I was trying to say is we are covering some like a special coverage. It's live coverage of the Nerd Calculators Dynasty Startup League that we did. The first half is available on YouTube and on your favorite podcast platform. This will be part two. We're going to try to keep this compact. We're going to cover each team, break down where their picks are. So make sure you check that out. By the way, I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, and joining me is Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy. What's up, Izzy?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Phenomenal, obviously.
Glad we waited, 30 days to do part two?
Was it 30 days? That's probably about right.
Yeah, about that. It was before the NFL draft. Yeah, more than 30 days.
That's right. Since then, we've had our rookie draft. There's been some trades. There's been a lot of action. So we're going to do our best to try to remember what picks we took and how to break down exactly what people have taken. So we'll see how we do.
See how we did.
So real quick, I want to give Rich an opportunity once again. Rich, can you give us maybe a brief rundown of your background just in case some of our listeners aren't fully familiar with what you are and what you do?
Well, I'm a Homo sapien. Been that way my whole life. And I'm the founder of DynastyNerds.com, host of the Dynasty Nerds podcast. Just like you guys, we every day just try to build the game of Dynasty and help everybody win their league. So just Google Dynasty Nerds and you'll find a whole bunch of stuff that we do. And we're just, again, here to help you guys build the most ultimate Dynasty fantasy football team, which is what I do, which is what we're going to clearly see here today, too.
Is that your tagline on the top of your website?
If it's not, it's going to be. So,
build the ultimate dynasty team using other Homo sapiens, right?
Yes. It comes from the Homo sapien mind, which is very important. Because if we were talking to like chimpanzees and stuff, I don't think they're going to help you build a good team.
Now, I mean, some sites could be equated to the quality of chimps, I guess. We won't throw any shade on anybody, right?
That's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So.
What are you going to do? Izzy, any quick words before we begin?
No, I think if you didn't tune into the first episode, we were kind of, we recapped the first six rounds and then we started talking about Dynasty Rich's team. So I think we can kind of pick up from there and segue into part two here.
So the cool thing about this one is that we've decided to, instead of using MFL's draft page to cover like the team breakdowns and stuff through this for this podcast, we're going to actually use the Dynasty Trade Calculator League import tool, a very special new piece of development over the course of the last couple of months. We've released this And we're just going to kind of like, maybe we'll put a couple teams up side by side just to see how they look. And maybe even Rich, if you got a trade that you're thinking of that you want to make and you see my team side by side with yours, maybe we can make one live on the air here. So,
oh, for sure. Can we, do you have Pat Mahomes? Is that your team?
Nope. That's your team.
Oh, that's right. That's the team looks way better than. It's like, trade me Pat Mahomes. It's been so long since this draft.
So for those of you that are following along on the YouTube channel, you're able to see your screen. We'll pull this League Import tool up so you can see the team side by side. For the ones that are listening, I would encourage you to go check out the YouTube before you get too far into listening to this. It's going to be much better for your experience. So let's get started. Maybe I'll start with Izzy. So Izzy, Dynasty Rich's team is on the right. And once again, as a refresher, this is a 12-team PPR Superflex format. It's tight end premium. And it's also point per first down. I think I got that right. So keep that in mind as you're like evaluating these teams. So start with Dynasty Riches on the right side there. What do you think?
Yeah. So we before the NFL, or before we had our, I guess after we had our draft, the NFL draft had commenced. So we had drafted draft picks, not players. And Rich had a litany of draft picks that now he's turned into players. He was short at quarterback in our first episode. He picked up Justin Herbert in the draft. So he's now got Mahomes, Herbert, and Truth Bisky, everybody's favorite quarterback. I call him Turd Bisky. Some people call him Truth Bisky. I think he's a turd, but that's just me. Then we got Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson at running back with Evans and McFarland as his rookie stable.
Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson, not David Johnson. My apologies. So I think, you know, I'm a big Anthony McFarland fan, so I like that pick. I know Evans is getting a lot of hype, and I'm a big Derrick Henry fan, but at the same time, they could let him go next year. So we might be looking at, you know, is Darrington Evans capable of being the next guy? So I'd say that's intriguing, but I think he's definitely aging at running back. His where he's strong is wide receiver. And I think there's a good balance of veteran players that are undervalued that he got good value on during the draft, like AJ Green, even Jarvis Landry. In a format like this, he should pick up a lot of first downs just because he should get a lot of receptions. So I think he's undervalued in this league. So it's going to be a good pick for him. He's got Chris Godwin, DJ Moore, two potential up and coming. We could be looking at these two guys being two top five wide receivers in 2021 ADP, which is very possible. I can see that happening. So he's strong there in his tight ends. He has Austin Hooper as his lead. Obviously, he's a Cleveland guy, so he's really he's got a bias. I mean, let's all be honest. He's got a Cleveland bias. He hated Austin Hooper up until he signed with Cleveland. Is that right, Rich?
Fake news.
Just making that up. But no,
there is a lot of CLE by a lot of his players.
Yeah, a lot of CLE, but you know, I like the construction of the team overall. I think he could turn one of those wide receivers into a quarterback at some point in time, even if it's not an elite quarterback, but somebody that can fill in if Justin Herbert isn't the guy to start and Trubisky loses his job to Foles. So I'm a big believer, and you got to have two quarterbacks in a super flex league. So we'll see what he does, but I think the base of this and how he drafted in his rookie draft as well, I think he did a great job.
All right, here's how we're going to do this too, Rich. I was going to give you an opportunity to weigh in on your own team, but I think we did that in the last podcast. Plus, I think just for the sake of keeping this compact, maybe what we'll do is have one person break down each team that we come across here. So that was Rich's team. I also like, Rich, just really quick note at the end of it, I like that you covered your butt for your receivers just to keep them young. You got Ruggs. I think in the rookie draft at a really good point. I think that was like in the late first, early second round. So I think I like that you covered your butt on that too for youth. So not to be too selfish, but I'm going to let Rich cover the next one. And the next one is my team. So Rich, let me know if you can see the screen here.
Yeah, I can see your screen for sure. And you know, starting here at top of the quarterback, you definitely come off, you know, kind of like me, where you had the one strong quarterback who could be a quarterback one in Josh Allen, top eight fantasy quarterback with the rushing ability. And then your number two is the rookie in Joe Burrow. And I love Joe Burrow, so I think it's a fantastic pick. He's the 1-1 in super flex rookie drafts, in my opinion. So you're coming out with two strong quarterbacks, athletic, and Tyrod Taylor is a nice, like, kind of little scapegoat there. But you're probably as thin as I am at the quarterback position, which is good because that means I have Pat Mahomes, so you're a little bit worse. So I could definitely beat you there, which is very strong here. Looking at your running backs, see Marlon Mack hated it. David Johnson hated it. Antonio Gibson loved it. Oh, wow. JP, what happened to your running back situation?
I unintentionally employed the zero running back strategy in this draft.
Yeah, if this was a beauty contest, you'd be coming in last place if your face was a running back position on your team. It is not looking good. It's kind of me looking in the mirror right now, not very attractive. So I think that hurt. That's definitely right now the weakest spot on your team.
Oh, yeah.
But receivers, I mean, you see around the bay, you know, you got Michael Thomas, but then you go Juju Smith and DK Metcalf. Those are both risky players there, so you got some red flags. DK Metcalf obviously having a much stronger rookie year than I thought he would have had. I really thought DK Metcalf be like kind of one-dimensional, kind of like that early DeSean Jackson. Hey, go deep.
You said, Rich, I'm pretty sure you said DK Metcalf. Was that like a Freudian slip? Like, did you intend, like, is he taking meth? I'm going to have to trade him like immediately.
Oh, Metcalf?
Yeah, DK Metcalf.
Oh, it's possible, dude. You don't know these people nowadays. They could be all on kinds of stuff. I don't judge though. Whatever you gotta do. I'm not a big Juju fan, honestly. I wasn't a huge fan of him coming out. Then he dominated, and he's still super young. We'll see what everybody wants to say. Well, Big Ben's coming back. Big Ben's coming back, and this is gonna solve all Juju's problem. But I mean, some of Juju's route running last year wasn't that great. He had some drops that had nothing to do with the quarterback situation. We'll see if Big Ben kind of gives him a boost, but that worries me a little bit. I'm not so sure with the way they brought in more receivers. You know, they drafted Chase Claypool in the second round and said they're going to use him as an X receiver. They're not using a tight end. They have James Washington. They have Deontay Johnson. So there's no guarantee that Juju is going to get locked up here in Pittsburgh. And we see when teams leave their original team and sign elsewhere, you have a 50-50 chance at best of then succeeding as at a fantasy level. The rest of your receivers, as we scoot down here, yeah, just don't love that. I mean, you got Michael Thomas, and that's great, but man, I wish I had your draft pick in this. What is the disrespect pool? The
disrespect draft, yeah.
Yeah, because I completely mean to just be disrespectful. And your team's just not looking that great right now, JP. I got to say, let's see what you got down here at tight ends. You got Zach Ertz, Noah Fant. Finally, some super. Oh, you got Jerry Jeudy at receiver. Never mind. I take that back. Your team just got a little bit better. So your receiving core is not as bad. And obviously, like there at Zach Ertz and Noah Fant, two young tight ends that could both be not only tight end ones, but top six, top seven tight end ones, which is in a league of their own, which is such a strong thing to have in tight end premium. So your tight end core looks pretty good. That's your saving grace. And your receivers aren't as bad with Michael Thomas, Jerry Jeudy, DK Metcalf, and Juju. And that alone could be a really strong core. So, yeah, your team looks like right around the middle of the road. Like, I'm looking down on it from where I'm at as a team standpoint and saying, this isn't terrible. You know, it's not Waz. It's not Waz's team.
There you go. Dynasty Rich gives my team an F+. I'll take it. I'm ready.
No. I give that a C+.
What is
he? C+.
I was going to say, if Juju played for the Cleveland Browns, he'd be the best receiver in the league in Rich's eyes.
So I know. I love Juju. Yeah. Listen,
it's an AFC North thing.
That is such a false aspect. I would never be the only player I'll ever be a homer on when it comes to Superflex, and it's mostly because I'm a believer. Is Baker Mayfield? People always think I overdraft him. Besides that, I'm not drafting any Browns, but look, guys, in fairness, besides the Kansas City Chiefs, if you had to pick one team, you could have all their fantasy players. What team is it going to be?
Yeah. Your guy.
Yeah, good question.
It's going to be this team. Question.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably Brown. I mean, off the top of my head, probably Browns. You can make a case for Rams. Not so much.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, coincidentally, the next team up for evaluation is Izzy. So we covered all, very selfishly covered all three of ours in the beginning of the podcast, which is probably good. That's kind of, us three are the most important people to ourselves, right?
Yeah. And you two are the more important than anybody else in that league that I know for sure. For me personally, even Matt, you heard that right, Matt?
We are super important. So really quickly, I'll break down Izzy went quarterback heavy, Lamar Jackson real early, went Sam Darnold. I think that was like in the fifth, right, Izzy?
Yes. Fifth round.
Fifth round. And then, so he was stacked pretty heavily at quarterback, obviously Lamar Jackson leading the way. Running back, David Montgomery, Darius Geis. I like those guys as a very good value this year. So I think Izzy went real heavy on the value with its running backs up until getting, I think he went with a couple early rookie picks in the startup draft. So you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Cam Akers. So I think you brought that. You have a well-rounded running back. Rich, what would Izzy look like if his face was a running back?
Probably looking like Kate Upton out there. Yeah,
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire alone. I mean, the way I look at it in a super flex league, if you have opportunity with how strong, like you always have to offset the whole team, how your whole team looks. And with how strong Izzy is at quarterback, that running back core, the fact that he has one high end running back one and Clyde Edwards-Helaire alone is a huge boost. Cause, you know, definitely in startup drafts, usually if you're strong at quarterback and you're strong at tight end and receiver, you're going to be weak at running back because that means you missed a boat on there. But Izzy crushed it again, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, along with Cam Akers. I mean, so even with his original picks, he has the upside guys in David Montgomery. He's got two young guys that are under rookie contracts. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's got the five-year contract just to dominate there. So I really like Izzy's team a lot.
And somehow was able to get some extremely good value in the wide receiver position too with DJ Chark. I know that's a great value. He's actually gone up with this offseason some more. I think probably because he relatively survived the 2020 NFL draft. Michael Gallup, a lot of people feel like he'll still be the wide receiver or could be the wide receiver one in that offense, even with all the extra company. I still think he's good. Mecole Hardman and Izzy and I have a franchise in Madden, and Mecole Hardman has turned into a superstar X factor. So I think that's going to happen in real life because it happened in Madden, right? That's how it goes.
It's got to be.
Got to be. George Kittle at tight end. I think your weakest position is probably receiver, even though you got a couple of decent ones. They're middle babies. But George Kittle at tight end, followed up by Jonnu Smith. I thought you did a really good job at tight end there too, since this is tight end premium and point per first down. So I'll give you your draft.
I faded wide receivers quite a bit just because it's the least important position in a league like this.
We can tell. I'll give your draft an F-. I think you did pretty good.
There was so much. I mean, with Marvin Jones and Alshon in the 16th and 17th round, I said, well, forget it. I'll just roll with these old geezers and try to figure it out later.
There you go. Izzy, you're up. Why don't you break down Stompy's team quick here? You got a couple minutes.
Yeah. So with Stompy's team during the draft, there was a couple head scratchers for me. But overall, I mean, I'm a big fan of Gardner Minshew, so I like that as his QB2. And Tannehill, I mean, Tannehill technically would be his QB2 because he drafted ahead of Gardner. But I think when you look at Gardner from a value acquisition to upside perspective, it's one of the best values in the draft. I think he could be, as a rookie, he was a QB, I guess, high-end QB2 when he played, maybe low-end QB1 on a points per game, and especially in a format where point per first down, he does have the scrambling ability to pick up some of those. So it's kind of a sneaky aspect to it. I love Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara at running back. I think those are two really solid running backs. Aaron Jones is his third running back who I'm a little bit concerned with, but if you're talking about Aaron Jones being your RB3, phenomenal running back stable outside of, you know, the depth after that is pretty light, but having a top three like that is great. And then you look at his wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, Jameson Crowder is actually my favorite receiver to own in Dynasty right now, just because he's dirt cheap and he will put up if he can stay healthy. That's always been Jameson Crowder's problem, is he just can't stay healthy. But if he does stay healthy, he should put up a very high end, you know, maybe not high end wide receiver two numbers, but definitely high end wide receiver three, mid wide receiver two numbers in an offense like that. He could look at 100 receptions with only Perriman behind him, with Denzel Mims behind him. Just not a lot to get excited about with the New York Jets passing game. So he could be the recipient of a lot of targets. So I like him a lot. Tyler Lockett, not a huge fan of, but I think Calvin Ridley as the wide receiver two in Atlanta could be a high-end wide receiver two in fantasy. I don't think he's got wide receiver one potential with Julio being there. So I like his receivers. I mean, it's not as strong as you'd hope going into the league, but I think he could add to that with the other pieces that he has on his team. So I think his weakest position is wide receiver. He does have Jack Doyle at tight end. I guess his tight ends would be the weakest position too, because Jack Doyle I think Jack Doyle is actually one of the most underrated dynasty buys right now, just because with the way Indy is set up, they don't really have a ton of proven depth behind T.Y. Hilton. And with Ebron gone, you look at Jack Doyle in a tight end premium league, he could pick up a lot of, you know, first down receptions. So yeah. I think he's a good buy. He's not that sexy. So I think with Stompy's core being the running backs and a point per first down league, it'll help him be. I don't think he's a top end team, but I think he could be middle of the road. I didn't like what he did at the draft. Looking at his team afterwards, I don't mind it, but I think he's got some work to do, especially at the wide receiver position and the tight end position.
There you go. Next team up for evaluation is FF Couch Coach. Rich, you're up.
All right, let me look at this team here. He is Carson Wentz. Yeah, so he's got Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, and Phillip Rivers. And what's really weird is he took Nick Foles significantly ahead of Mitch Trubisky. So he obviously feels that that's the way to go. And Taysom Hill, he did draft Andrew Luck. That seems like a great pick right there. So when I obviously we're at the top of the bat, like I'm concerned at quarterback. Phillip Rivers could be one and done in Indy and then retire maybe a year and a half. I'm still not 100% Nick Foles could beat out Mitch Trubisky because he never beat out anybody his entire career. Even if he does, it's a short-lived shelf life there. Carson Wentz can't be – he's not even available in your fantasy football playoffs, so that's a concern. So his quarterback seems like he has Carson Wentz, and his long-term future is not looking too bright. I mean, will Phillip Rivers be enough in a super flex league to get it done this year? Yeah, sure. But even if Nick Foles is the starter there in Chicago, I don't love it. I don't love Nick Foles as a fantasy aspect. I mean, look what he did in Jacksonville. Nick Foles' entire career comes in for a little bit, and he's a perfect stopgap couple-game quarterback. After that, he becomes Mr. Turd Ferguson. So I'm not a big fan of Nick Foles at all. I don't love the quarterback situation. I'd be really worried long-term, and we all know in Superflex leagues, trying to acquire quarterback talent, you got to pay an arm and a leg. So now he's going to have to give up significant draft capital or some of these young players that we like on his team just to fix that. This team looks like a team already off the top of the gate that's going to be in a rebuild mode not too long down the road. He's got Zeke Elliott, Miles Sanders at running back. Fantastic. But that's all he's got. Justice Hill, Nyheim Hines. That's okay, for like desperation plays. Nyheim Hines might see an uptick, but I mean, how they invested that draft capital in Jonathan Taylor moving up for him, they might want to get him involved in the passing game. So starters at running back, he's looking good there. Maybe he offset it with the receiver position. Let me take a look. Nope, sure didn't. Sure did not offset that team with the receiver position because right out the gates, he's got Kenny Galladay, who's not under contract with Detroit after this year. If they could re-sign him long-term, that's great because he's a solid number one, but he's not a number one on your dynasty team. Cortland Sutton, he could be a wide receiver one, but there's a lot of mouths to feed in Denver right now with that strong running game, two-headed monster. They bring in Jerry Jeudy. They bring in KJ Hamler, both high draft picks to go along with their first-round receiver in Noah Fant at tight end. So Cortland Sutton will most likely have a ceiling of that, high-end wide receiver two. I love Curtis Samuel as a wide receiver three, but still, the problem is I see this team right now is
Tyler Boyd.
I don't know how this is possible. He's thin at almost every position besides running back is what it looks like. And even at running back, he has no depth. You can argue the best two starting running backs in the league in Miles Sanders, Zeke Elliott. It's a good combo, but where's all the depth? What's going to happen when the bye weeks start to come in for that team? Where are you finding those bye week fillers? To me, that team looks like out of all the rosters we've seen right now, destined for a very high draft pick in the 2021 draft class.
I think Izzy's right with Tyler Boyd and Rigor. I don't think he's quite as bad at wide receiver.
I didn't see those at the bottom.
That's what I wanted to call him out there.
But still, I mean, for this year, I mean, you're looking for Jalen Reagor to come in and compete with all this COVID and guys way behind. Like any rookie receiver, we're not looking for him to come in and compete right off the gate. So it's going to give those guys that have, they're going to run probably a lot of 12 personnel with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, who were both tight end ones last year. Alshon's still under contract. He has to play there this year. DeSean Jackson's still under contract for this year as well. So I don't look Jalen Reagor to come in, compete, and blow all the socks off right away.
Yep.
But, I mean, for a long-term prospect, yeah, that's great. But
yeah,
it's not a team that I look at for 2020. And Tyler Boyd, Tyler Boyd's there. That's a nice piece. He played well last year. But they bring in T. Higgins with the first pick in the second round. Again, that's a lot of mouths to feed out there with A.J. Green. And look for Joe Mixon to get a little bit more involved in the passing game this year than he's been in the past. I look for Cincinnati to probably run the ball with Joe Burrow there way more than they did even last year. So
there you go.
I don't love it, to be honest with you. I don't love it.
Your favorite. He got an F, just an even F. No plus on it.
No, when you have Zeke Elliott, Miles Sanders, I mean, those are two players. If you want to flip that around, you could flip that around with those two assets right now.
Get a lot of depth. Yep.
I mean, Miles, is there a hotter running back name in Dynasty Fantasy Football right now than Miles Sanders? I mean, people are predicting him to be the next Christian McCaffrey all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's already being valued as one, too, unfortunately, for all of us.
Well, when I see a running back get a spike that much in an ADP in value, and he's a running back and he's not a proven like Christian McCaffrey, I'm instantly trying to shop him and see if I can get some, you know, an overpay on him and get some good return on him right away. The running back position in a super flex league to me should always be the most fluid position on your roster.
Yep, I agree. So next team up for evaluation, I'll do this one really quickly, is David Zach from Dynasty Nerds. So real quick, I'll just kind of break his, I'll go position by position. So quarterback, Matt Ryan, Dwayne Haskins, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Case Keenum, and Teddy Bridgewater, Jalen Hurts. Holy cow. Quarterback heavy. I'd say he did a good job at quarterback. He's got a ton of youth plus Matt Ryan, and he's got a ton of depth. I would imagine that David Zach is probably drafting to trade. Once people realize that they have some shortcomings at quarterback, he'll probably make some moves. So I'll give him like a solid B for quarterbacks. At running back, Christian McCaffrey.
Would you though?
What's that?
Would you though?
I would.
With Matt Ryan, Haskins, the potential of Jameis Winston getting something after this year.
With Teddy Haskins and Jameis, I mean, that's, Jameis isn't even a starter right now. So you're looking at Haskins and Teddy Bridgewater as your QB2, 3. I don't like Teddy at all really this year, just with all the changes in Carolina. I don't know. I don't think that's a stacked quarterback stable. I think he's got a lot of names. I just don't know if he's got a lot of guts, you know?
Yeah.
He's got three starters. I mean, you can't argue that with in a super flex league at all.
And well, what do you rate it, Izzy? What's your score?
For quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see like an upper echelon type quarterback performance. Like he's got,
I'm not saying
three
that,
but bodies. I'm going to say for quarterback C+.
We're arguing between a B and a C+. Cool.
Yeah, I mean that's a big difference.
Okay.
If I took a C home to my parents, I'd get my ass kicked. If I took a B home, it would be like you just need to work on a little bit.
Sure. Okay. So
I'm looking at ass kicking versus A. It's okay.
I would love to see you get your ass kicked, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Who wouldn't?
Running backs, Christian McCaffrey, Kerryon Johnson, Jonathan Taylor. So between those three, it's kind of like similar to FF Couch Coach, but a little bit better. He's got a big three and then kind of drops off a little bit.
Stompy.
What's that?
It was Stompy.
Stompy. I'm sorry. Yep, that's right. Stompy with Zeke and Miles. I would give his running backs a solid B also, like good position. He's in a good position on the top three and then needs a little bit of depth.
Yeah, if you just have Christian McCaffrey by himself and he's your only running back, your running back situation is still a solid B. Yep,
I agree. At wide receiver, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson, Will Fuller, to name some of the highlights. And that's pretty much it for wide receiver. There isn't a lot of else that I'm too excited about. So I think a great one and two, in my opinion, and then a decent three. Can't be mad about Will Fuller for your third. Just not a ton of depth there once again. So very similar to his running back position. It's top heavy and then not a ton of depth. Tight end Evan Engram. I remember him trading up to get Evan Engram, and then also Blake Jarwin, kind of a sneaky sleeper. Also Chris Herndon. I think he could be sneaky too. So wide receiver also a B. Tight end also a B. So I give him B's all the way up and down.
You're the worst teacher ever.
Sounds like a lot of honeys coming out of that team.
Some people might consider maybe I'm a beekeeper. I just throw in a lot of B's. All right, next one up for evaluation, Dynasty Price. Izzy, why don't you keep the same format, just go position by position. Give him a grade.
Yeah, so Dynasty Price, I actually own his – I had the last pick in the disrespect draft, and I was left with Dynasty Price. So I was okay with it because I don't necessarily love his team. He's got Rodgers, Big Ben, and Stafford, so I like his quarterbacks. I think he did a great job at quarterback, especially in the short term, maybe not long term, but for this year – I like it a lot, and obviously I'm a huge Matt Stafford fan. And then you look at his running backs. He's got Keyshawn Vaughn, Sony Michel, Kareem Hunt, and Saquon. I mean Saquon's great, but I mean Sony's trash for me. Hunt, I think is okay as a prospect for 2021. I don't really see how he's going to produce, you know, high end, you know, RB2 numbers. I can see him being a low end RB2 in Cleveland with Nick Chubb there. And then with Sony Michel, he's a plug. I guess he's a plug and play bye week filler. But I don't love the running back stable. And then if you look at his receivers, Amari Cooper, I think we saw what Gallup did with Amari Cooper last year. And Gallup showed that he could be the 1A, 1B to Cooper. So I don't see Cooper being, you know, the guaranteed primary receiver there. I can see a world where Gallup is the primary receiver in Dallas. And then you have Hopkins, who I like, but I don't like the transition from, I don't like when receivers transition from one team to another, especially with everything that's going on. Are they getting enough reps? Is he going to be ready to rock? With the elite receivers, you see a little bit less of a depreciation in production. But you have to look at it. When he was in Houston, he was getting all the targets. Will Fuller couldn't stay healthy. KQT couldn't stay healthy. He's never really had a Christian Kirk alongside him. And now he's going to a new team. So I assume his reception, his targets are going to come down in Arizona. So DeAndre Hopkins is my favorite receiver of all time. But I don't love the Arizona transition. I'd much rather have him stay in Houston. So that hurts him. Darius Slayton, I think, is a really good pickup. But I'd like him as a wide receiver 4, not as a wide receiver 3. So I think he could use some work at receiver. And then his tight end.
I don't think you said Diggs, did you?
Oh, yeah, Diggs. I'm not a Diggs fan either. So I guess Diggs is your wide receiver 3. Slayton's your wide receiver 4. I like Slayton as a wide receiver 4, so I'll correct that. But I don't like Diggs either. But I do like him as a wide receiver 3, so I'll give him that. So his receivers on paper look really good. But if you look at production going into production for 2020, I bet that those 4 receivers are going to underproduce their draft position. Okay. Maybe not Slayton. I think Slayton as a wide receiver 4 will be fine, but his top 3 will underproduce the draft position.
Oh, okay.
I'm very confident in that. And then you look at his tight end. I like Darren Waller. I think he's actually one of the best values at tight end. He can give you top 3 tight end production. And to be honest, you know, Oakland did fill some wide receiver needs with bringing in Ruggs and Edwards, but they're rookies. So Darren Waller could see, you know, 100 plus targets at that tight end position. I think in premium, you're looking at a really solid tight end 1 season from Darren Waller. I would bet if we went to Vegas right now, Hurley, I would try to find a sports book so I can bet Darren Waller is a top 5 tight end this year.
Wow.
So I like Darren Waller as a tight end. But honestly, I think he's underwhelming at the other positions from a production perspective. I think he's got a lot of names. I don't think he's going to get the production out of those names.
There you go. Good breakdown. We've got 5 more teams, so it's going to have to be like a lightning round. So, Rich, in a lightning round fashion, break down Eitan Mosia's team from DTC, from the Dynasty Diagnostic Podcast.
All right, let's do this quick. So, obviously, quarterback situation, he's looking pretty good right out the gates. Drew Lock, young, high upside, add a ton of offensive weapons to help him produce there. Dak Prescott has shown he could be, you know, QB8 right around there, which is still a quarterback 1, which is great. And still Drew Brees, at least 1 more year of production from Drew Brees, which is solid. So I think he's okay at quarterback position. Running back, you have Derrick Henry, which I'm not a huge fan of. I've said it 100 times. This is a guy who I just don't view in PPR leagues as an elite fantasy football running back. I'd be looking to trade him. The chances of him getting a long-term contract are probably slim to none. And I mean, my best example for him is look what he did last year. He led the league in rushing and was still only running back number 7 on the year. We have Saquon Barkley's.
Go.
What's that?
In a point per first down league, he's going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, it is points per first down. It's just that long term value. I just don't see that at running back. So to me, it looks like you're going to have a hole there sooner than later. Same with Mark Ingram. They're bringing J.K. Dobbins, which is a death blow to Mark Ingram after this year. So to me, he looks like he's really weak at running back. Definitely. That's enough to get by for this year, but he has no depth there whatsoever. So if J.K. Dobbins surpasses Mark Ingram at some point halfway through the season, I mean, his team is really screwed at the running back position.
Yep.
At receiver, right out the gate, I mean, he looks extremely strong. With the first three names I see, you get AJ Brown, who dominated last year, even in his rookie year. Cooper Kupp, got to be somewhat worried that he's a free agent, and I don't look at the Rams re-signing him with their contract, their cap situation, and he is 27 years old. And then Christian Kirk and Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's a fantastic top four right off the gates. I mean, Tyreek Hill, still young, only 25 years old in KC. You could argue he's a top three startup wide receiver. So you get the elite of the elite, and then AJ Brown to go with him, who's an up-and-coming young guy. So he's young and strong at receiver, and he drafts a guy like Justin Jefferson to take over for Stephon Diggs in Minnesota with Adam Thielen being 31 years old. I think his receiving core is very strong. Definitely looks like the best part of his team. Well, with his quarterbacks as well. At tight end, he goes O.J. Howard, who got kind of killed a little bit there with, you know, Rob Gronkowski. I know Bruce Arians is already saying they're going to run a lot more 12 personnel. But for a guy who doesn't target his receiver tight ends as it is, that's somewhat of a concern already for him. And then who's his other tight end there? T.J. Hockenson, who I love, who's one of my favorite dynasty trade targets right now is Hockenson, just because of the fact he didn't do anything whatsoever last year, and everybody's so quick to pass up on players that they haven't been. You know, what have you done for me lately? I've been making a lot of offers. I've given up my 2021 first, 2022 first for T.J. Hockenson in multiple tight end premium leagues already. I think he takes a big step forward this year, because we got to remember, in Detroit, there's not a single wide receiver on that team that's under contract for 2021. Look for T.J. Hockenson to take another big step forward to be that kind of – we're hoping he turns that George Kittle-esque kind of receiver to lead that team in targets and in receptions, and most importantly, red zone receptions. I think in first down points per first down, I think T.J. Hockenson can even dominate there as well. That's a team that had, besides the New England Patriots, had the most red zone targets inside the 10, and T.J. Hockenson only had four of those last year. So we should look for positive regression in that standpoint going huge this year. And that's if, with the fact that Matt Stafford was even a quarterback for the last half of the season, and he still showed like he could show some promise in an offense. So I love T.J. Hockenson.
There you go. Next team up for evaluation is Nick Whalen from Dynasty Nerds. Nick did a great job drafting quarterbacks. Rich, before we started recording, you were saying how much how good Izzy's quarterbacks were. I think Nick's quarterbacks are better than Izzy's just because of the QB2 here. But Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and he also has it followed up by he drafted Tua Tagovailoa in the rookie draft. So I think he gets probably, I would give him an A- at quarterback, maybe just a solid A. Very good job, Nick. At running back, he went pretty heavy in the value here. So you got Austin Eckler, Todd Gurley, Chris Carson. What's that?
Let me stop here for a second. So a B is Haskins, Bridgewater, and Matt Ryan, and an A-. And so see that's the gap that I'm talking about.
I gave him an A.
Yeah, I mean it should be. I mean if that's a B, this should be like A with like four or five plus.
I mean, a lot of teams could be in a B. I don't know why you're being so difficult with the grading.
Yeah, why are you being such a B about it?
Is all I'm saying. It's kind of
weird. Actually being a D about it.
I think a D was a better grade, but go ahead, continue.
That's fine. I finished with B- on that anyway. So
okay, good.
Austin Eckler, Todd Gurley, Chris Carson. Luckily enough, he had drafted Carlos Hyde, who had landed on the Seahawks shortly after this draft had happened. He'd be upset if I didn't mention Ronald Jones in his running back stable. He drafted DeAndre Swift in the rookie draft, along with AJ Dillon. So I think Whalen did a good job at running backs. He's got a ton of depth. I'd give him Izzy. I'm going to give him a B at running back. Is that okay?
Yes. It seems like every other grade you give everybody just Bs.
That's a strong B. That's strong a good B, yeah, running back.
Yeah, good running backs. At wide receiver, not quite as good. I'm probably going to be reluctant to give out a B so easily on this one with Keenan Allen. He was my biggest dynasty sell last year. I'm just concerned with that quarterback situation and him kind of hitting that age cliff, the new age cliff that Izzy always talks about, 28, time to start heading downhill. I think by next year or a few years from now, 23 or 24 will be the new age cliff for wide receivers, but right now it's 28. It used to be 30. I think, didn't Andre Johnson perform until he was like 34?
We're not talking about production. We're purely talking about value.
Dynasty return. Okay, yeah, dynasty value. That's true. I still think Keenan fits pretty good in that three-year window if you're not concerned with that age, but I like to get rid of him when you can. It's probably too late to do it now, but N'Keal I like as a good value. I think he could maybe step up potentially. Like, who else are they going to throw it to? Is Edelman is like 5 or 6 or 7 years past that age cliff. And Edelman is at that production age cliff, not just the dynasty age cliff. So yep. I'm concerned about him. T.Y. Hilton, Perriman, and he does have Edelman. There's just not a lot to love with the wide receiver. So I'll probably give that like a C minus or a D plus. He's got a lot of those middle babies. This is very similar to Izzy's receivers. A lot of mid-tier wide receivers, a bunch of them with Keenan Allen. So at tight end, he's got Jared Cook, Rob Gronkowski. So I'll give the tight ends like a D plus also.
Really? I think Jared Cook's underrated, but.
Yeah, but once again, he's at that point along with Drew Brees where Waylon's going to have to be concerned with his tight ends going forward. He's got Witten, Greg Olsen, Jared Cook, like the oldest tight ends in the entire league, and nothing to back it up. So from a dynasty perspective, and Rob Gronkowski, the average age of his dynasty wide receivers are 31.
He literally in 1 year, next year, could have one active tight end on his roster.
Literally, yeah. So that's a D plus in dynasty for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, next team up for evaluation. We've got, three left here, is our favorite Waz. I'm going to leave this one for Izzy.
I have his disrespect pick, so I hope Izzy tears this apart.
Keep that in mind as you're hearing this break.
Yeah. I'm going to give a lot of B's out. with Waz, I think there was some good and bad with Waz's draft. His quarterbacks, Cousins, Garoppolo, Cam Newton, it's if Cam gets a job, it's good, solid depth at the quarterback position. There's no QB1 there. I don't see Cam at this advanced age being a QB1, maybe a low end if he ends up going to the Patriots, let's say, for example. Jimmy Garoppolo, Hurley, you've heard me talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think he's that good of a quarterback. Kirk Cousins, I think, is underrated, but he's a QB2. And then you look at where his bread is buttered is going to be the running back position. He's got Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, James Conner, and Devin Singletary. I mean, you're looking at from RB1, RB2, RB3, RB4 perspective, if you stack them up against the rest of the league, you're looking at a top four that could compete with anybody's top four. It might be the best top four out there. And he backed up Devin Singletary with Zach Moss there just in case, you know, something happens to Devin Singletary, or if Zach Moss ends up being better. Worst case scenario, they cannibalize each other's production. But him being potentially your RB3, RB4, depending on what happens to James Conner, I don't mind it. I think he did a good job at running back. You look at his receivers, a lot of names that I like, namely Deontay Johnson, who I've always been a big fan of. You got Alan Lazard, who I like as a wide receiver 3. I think his wide receiver 1 is Mike Evans right now, which a lot of people aren't that excited about. But I think he's underrated. Undervalued, especially. Maybe not underrated, but definitely undervalued. So it being your wide receiver 1, Mike Evans, not all that exciting, but I think solid enough. Deontay being your wide receiver 2, I'd like him as your wide receiver 3. So I think even though I like Deontay as a player, I think that's too aggressive as a projection moving forward. And then Alan Lazard, I like him as a wide receiver 4. So I think he's missing a wide receiver 2 to kind of bump everybody down. I don't see that player on that team that can step up and give him wide receiver 2 production. I don't think Paris Campbell's that guy. I don't see Bryan Edwards ascending. I don't like Marquise Brown at all. I think Rich is a big fan of Marquise Brown. I might be getting confused with somebody else, even though he's
very confused.
He's an AFC North player. I should have known. So you don't like Marquise Brown. Neither do I. So I don't see him being a wide receiver 2 either, but at least he's a wild card. So I think Waz's worst position is the receiver position. Even though I like a lot of the players, I just don't think he's got the right, stable in terms of wide receiver 1 through 4 and where they're positioned in there. And then his tight ends, no, it's just not there for me.
Higbee aren't bad, but not great.
I'm not a Higbee fan. I like Goddard, but I don't want him being my I guess I don't mind him as a tight end too, but I'd want Tyler Higbee upgraded if I'm going to be rolling into this season. The fact that he was kind of like that one-hit wonder, he really blew up in the second half of the season. I just don't know if I can trust that. So
they also signed him long-term to a nice contract as well, making him top 10 dynasty tight end paid tight ends. I think I like Higbee. I think he's got good upside.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm not a Higbee. I want to see more, especially I would like Higbee as my tight end too, but I want to see more before I project him as my tight end one.
But he is his tight end. Dallas Goedert was tight end 8 last year. That's with Ertz. I mean, I think Dallas Goedert long-term projects as tight end 1.
That's assuming that the Philadelphia Eagles' entire stable is just going to get decimated with injuries again. And if that's the case, then yeah, I love Dallas Goedert.
I agree with you. That's a team full of wild cards. And unfortunately for Waz, we're not playing Uno. So it's looking like his team's going to come in last place, which I'm very happy about, by the way.
I don't know if it's last place, but it's like in the 7-9 range in terms of finish. I think he'll be a team that competes for a playoff spot with the running backs, but I think he might just fall short.
Well, I pray every day that he does come in last place. Yeah.
That's going to be a lovely pick if it happens. Rich, you get the next one. Dynasty Matt, we've got two teams left. Go ahead and fire this one off when you're ready.
Yeah. I actually like Matt's team a lot. I love the way he started the draft, going back-to-back Oklahoma quarterbacks and Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. I think to have that strong of a core and to be that young at quarterback in a Superflex league is such a blessing in disguise, where you don't have the one QB that's older and the one that's younger. You have two guys that your oldest is 25 that were number one overall picks that look like they could be their team's quarterback for the long term. So I love where he started. Obviously, his biggest miss, like what he failed to do in the draft, was attack the running back position. I think long term it worked out for him. I mean, Matt Breida offers some pass catching ability upside and can be the guy there in Miami. Jerick McKinnon still on that San Francisco roster and tells me that Kyle Shanahan's always had an envision for Jerick McKinnon to be that the use in his scheme in that system. And I always want any share of Kyle Shanahan's running backs core. If Jerick McKinnon can be involved in that pass core, that's great. And I love J.K. Dobbins. I think he fits that team system. Everybody talks about how great of a fit Jonathan Taylor was for the Colts. You can make the same argument of how good of a fit J.K. Dobbins is for that Baltimore system going forward after Mark Ingram's out of there. I think he did, you know, he's still that other, he needs that big time running back. He doesn't have it, but he's got a couple pieces here that can at least give him fantasy production to the point in PPR leagues that help offset with his other, where he's strong elsewhere. Rich, like we look at his receiver
running back position, running back stable.
What's that?
It's a horrible running back stable.
It's not great.
It's just not good. I mean, you're kind of sugarcoating it there. We got to keep
it B though, right?
Yeah, it's a B. And Hurley would give it a B. Yeah.
It's definitely weak, but I mean, having J.K. Dobbins who could be, has that potential to have put up running back one numbers potentially, then, I mean, he's a better pass catcher and better, you know, could be a better point running back in this right now than Mark Ingram, who finished as a running back one last year. So that's going forward.
Yeah. If, I mean, you're talking about Uno. I mean, this is go fish, I think, at the running back position after J.K. Dobbins.
Agree. But Mark Ingram, you know, he doesn't have Mark Ingram. So
he's got a bunch. Yeah. He's got a couple old maids mixed into there, too.
And James White, who I don't mind. Matt Breida. I mean, it's just not that strong.
No.
It's definitely not strong. I think it's, but we all know, like in a super flex draft, the one position you could draft in a rookie draft going down the road, and definitely haven't hurt that having JP's pick is a blessing in disguise for how bad his team was. So
yeah,
I mean, he's definitely going to get like Travis Etienne, Chuba Hubbard. He's going to add an elite running back for sure. Having a top three pick is going to be bona fide loving for him. So that's good there. And you go on the receiving core. I mean, he's got Odell Beckham, Deebo Samuel, Mike Williams, Devontae Parker, boom, boom, boom contributors. I love Deebo. I love Odell this year for a bounce back. I think Mike Williams is one of the most underrated pieces out there in Dynasty right now because everybody saw that he hasn't done anything. But if you look at Mike Williams' production on his targets, I mean, if you just take production on targets, he shows that he could be a high-end wide receiver too. I think bringing a guy in like Justin Herbert and his arm is going to do wonders for Mike Williams. I'm a big Devontae Parker fan. And then he adds some really good young depth there. I mean, look what he adds in the rookie category alone. T. Higgins, Denzel Mims, Brandon Ayuk, Van Jefferson. I mean, those are all prospects that I like a lot as Dynasty rookies, and he has four of those guys, four of them. So if we all know this rookie, the rookie draft is a 50-50 hit as it is. So he gives himself four bullets to shoot, and he added Ayuk with Deebo Samuel. You want that number one receiver in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So he set himself up to have Deebo and Ayuk. So one of those guys is going to be the number one receiver in that offense, which should put up good fantasy production. And then you look at his tight end position. Again, he killed it, man. Mark Andrews, Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki, two really strong tight end ones in Andrews and Henry and Hunter Henry, and then two really good upside guys in Mike Gesicki, who started to come on really strong at the end of last year, and Jay Sternberger. With the Packers not adding a lot of weapons in the receiving game, it's pretty much Davante Adams and Alan Lazard. Jay Sternberger is a big receiver. He's not a tight end. He's a big receiver, and that's what he does well. So I think overall, if he had just one more running back, this is like a very, very good team. But overall, I still think it's a really good team. I like what he did.
All right, there you go. So, Rich, you evaluated probably what we might agree to be as one of the better teams in the league. And I think overall, this could be one of the more I'm trying to find a way to put it more culturally sound, like put it a little bit more nicely. But this team's going to have some opportunities in 2020 and kind of repairing some of these gaps that he's got. This is Culture Coach's team. He went right away with Daniel Jones, Tom Brady. He went really early on Tom Brady. I didn't like that. I think he's a big fan. I think he must believe that Brady's going to have more than just a single year with how early he drafted him. So Daniel Jones, Tom Brady at quarterback. I love Daniel Jones. Isn't enough to get into the B territory for me. So I'm going to give him like a C for quarterbacks in Dynasty because that's all he's got. There's no other wild cards mixed into there. And then we got Dalvin Cook at running back, along with Kenyon Drake, Raheem Mostert. And that kind of rounds out the running backs. Dalvin Cook definitely brings him up into a B. He's one of those guys that can elevate his team. And I like Dalvin Cook's Dalvin Cook's receiving will kind of come to light, I think, this year. I think he's going to be one of my favorite ones to watch in the receiving game. So, again, I think I said a B at running back. Wide receiver, Julio Jones. I like Julio, obviously, for production in a couple years. I don't like pairing Julio with Tom Brady. Like, he's your best wide receiver. Pairing him with Brady is kind of concerning, along with Adam Thielen. So, like, there's going to be some big dynasty gaps that he'll have to manage in the coming years, as soon as next year, even. I like that he picked up Terry McLaurin. Anthony Miller is a good sleeper. But wide receivers, probably, like, from a dynasty perspective, I give him, like, a C+. Any other big names at wide receiver I'm missing? CeeDee Lamb. I think that's a great pick. That'll help him out.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Preston Williams there too, which offers really good upside. I mean, when he was right before he got hurt, he was wide receiver 13 overall. Right before he got hurt, coming on really strong there was Fitzpatrick. Yep. So I think his receiver, I think
you missed the opportunity to give him a B.
Yeah, I think so. Really? I think having Thielen and Julio, who are both older, are like the perfect age to let Michael Pittman and CeeDee Lamb kind of develop into their own. So as soon as those guys fade away in a year or two, you have two boom, big time replacement upside players in Lamb and Pittman to go with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I missed CeeDee Lamb when I gave the grade out. So I'll give him a B. CB Lamb. There you go.
He's back.
Back, baby.
At tight end, Travis Kelce, and that's kind of it. And Travis Kelce gives you a B by himself. There's not a lot of depth, but Travis Kelce with his big, high potential. That's a B there, but due to lack of death, he loses a little bit of a score there. So, Izzy, how'd I do?
You did. I would give your overall grade a B.
Funny thing, so really quick, one final like dynasty note at the very end here. I think tight ends have a little bit later of an age cliff as far as dynasty value is concerned, and Travis Kelce is really flirting with that. I think maybe last year could have been the hot spot, the pocket to sell him, but there's still an opportunity this year, especially after the season kicks off, because Travis Kelce will have zero trouble getting that production. I think there's rumors out there. People are flirting with the idea that Travis Kelce could be looking for a new team next year based on his contract and his outs and stuff and what Kansas City has to spend. So I do like Travis Kelce as a sell as the season kicks off. So that is it. You guys have any other words of wisdom before we back out of this?
Well, I like to say my team looks fantastic. And I would give it an A, a very solid A.
I give it a B. All right, you guys, we'll be like the normal YouTubers. Smash the like button, subscribe, give our podcast a review. Like, give us a B. Like, at least give us a B, right? We earned the B on this podcast.
It's my favorite Dynasty podcast. It's not the Dynasty Nerds podcast. So I think you guys should smash those ratings and reviews for sure.
There you go. Follow us all on Twitter. Make sure you check out Dynasty Rich on Twitter at Dynasty Rich. There's no hyphens or underscores in your name, is there?
No, dude, I make mine kid-proof.
You are the original. Dynasty Rich on Twitter. Follow our main handle at FF Dynasty Trades to look at trades, announcements, lots of stuff coming up, exciting stuff in the future. Check out Dynasty Nerds, dynastynerds.com. Anywhere you can find them, just like Rich said, Google them. You'll find their podcast, their website, all their stuff. That's all we got for you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Bye. Let's go with DTC. We trust they know. Let's go.